I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We heard in the reading that Sammy read for us, after you eat and are full, give praise to the Lord your God for the good land he gave you. Make sure that you never forget the Lord or disobey his laws and teachings that I am giving you this day. This is Thanksgiving weekend. I've been waiting for it for quite a while because I'm going to see my youngest grandson very soon, and I'm very excited about that. He was born at home in my home in BC this summer. In the first 2 weeks of his life, I got to see him and hold him every day, and I haven't seen him since the 10th of August, and I miss him. I have a lot to celebrate. For many of us, there are family gatherings today, family being friends as well as biological connections. And probably we'll be eating lots of good food. My family, turkey is traditional, and stuffing and pumpkin pie. And Carol actually cooked some that I could have enjoyed last night if I hadn't been so very tired when I finally got home. Oh, well, you may have other foods that you associate with celebrations. The church is decorated in a special way. There's a sense of generosity in the air, and we are aware of the blessings God has given us. So gathered here today, we give thanks to God. Our hymns, our prayers, our conversations focus on thanksgiving, on gratitude to God. And it is good to give thanks, to be aware of the blessings we enjoy. So I want you to take just a minute or so and just one after the other, say to somebody near you, you can talk at the same time, it's okay. I want you to name as many blessings as you can think of until I tell you to stop, okay? On your mark, get set, go. My grandson, my daughters, my family, safe travels, my friend, doctors and lawyers that help Peter. It's time to be together at St. Andrews. Wonderful day in which I get to drive, the activities that I enjoy. Thank you. Did anybody get stuck anywhere along the way? Because sometimes, maybe we've been thinking about Thanksgiving a lot, but sometimes we go along, the kids gave us a list of some of the things for which they're thankful. Sometimes we get those up there and then we think, I know I'm thankful for some other things, but I can't think of any right now. It happens that way sometimes. I wonder what would have happened if I asked each of you to name 100 things for which you give thanks this morning. Probably some of us would have got stuck. It isn't that we aren't thankful. It's just that we don't always really stop and think about all the things that we have for which we can give thanks. We're not specific about the things and the people for whom we are thankful. Now, I noticed I've been traveling this last week. I just got back from Ontario last night on a very strange route since I missed a plane and got rerouted. That's the word. And I was noticing how many times I casually said thanks to people. Getting on and off the planes, thanks to the flight attendants, thanks to the person who checked me in, thanks to the person who found me a new flight back to Saskatoon when I missed one. We say thanks casually a lot of time. The wait staff bring you a cup of coffee, and we say thanks, or maybe we don't. Maybe we take it for granted. Because sometimes we don't focus on all these details. We don't really take in the smell of fresh brewed coffee, the delight and comfort of our favorite drink, whether it's coffee, tea, or something else. The fact that we simply have to say, I'd like a cup of coffee, please, and it's delivered to us when we go into a restaurant. The fact that we have enough money to buy that kind of service and the coffee and the refreshment we receive from it, we can largely do it without thinking much about that. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for coffee and tea and for waitstaff and restaurants and grocery stores, for moments of refreshment and relaxation, for the company of those with whom we share these times of refreshment. We teach our children to say thank you. But Thanksgiving isn't something you can demand of someone. One of my favorite sources for preaching inspiration is David Lowe's, and he used to write a column called Dear Working Preacher. Thanksgiving, he says, it's one of the hard times to preach. Because Thanksgiving, that is real gratitude, can't be commanded. It's like your mom. After you forgot to say thank you, she's saying, remember to say thanks, prompting you with such an, patient guidance. So we say thank you then. But is it quite the same thing as when we might have thought of it ourselves? Sometimes our responses to mom was a little bit grudging. Yeah, I know. So for this Thanksgiving of ours to have any real value, we don't want it to be forced. If it's forced gratitude, does that mean it's fake gratitude? The story we read in Luke about the 10 lepers gives us some insight into what thankfulness really is. And I'm thankful for Professor David Lowe's for some of the insights that he shared with me. I wonder where we find ourselves in the story of the lepers today. Might be we be some of the people who were following along with Jesus as he made this journey. Might we be among the people who were calling out to Jesus for help. Might we be other bystanders. We are somewhere in that story. For some of us, the story may make us feel a little bit ashamed. Ashamed for all the times that we didn't stop to express our gratitude. Maybe ashamed that it was a foreigner, an outcast from the people's point of view, someone who wasn't expected to be well informed about proper manners and things. We might be ashamed that it was someone like that who thought to come back and thank Jesus. But inducing guilt is not what this story is about. The story of the leper is a story of God's grace, not God's judgment. It's about the importance of seeing, of noticing, of paying attention, of taking note to incidents of God's grace. We're told that Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee, which is kind of interesting because there really is no region between Samaria and Galilee. They border each other. It's almost like saying the region between Saskatchewan and Alberta. And I was traveling through that land just about 2 years ago. Hardly noticed that we were going in and out of the area called Samaria because it isn't much of anything now in terms of a place. Well, we have to wonder why Luke said between these two regions. Perhaps since it isn't a real place, Luke was speaking theologically. A place of tension, perhaps, because Jesus was on the journey between Galilee, where he had spent most of his ministry, and Jerusalem, where he would be put to death. A place where there are ethnic and religious differences that are felt very intensely. What he encounters along the way reveals something about the kingdom he will establish, a kingdom of grace and acceptance, of healing and restoration. A kingdom that is between the reality of life as we know it now and the reality of God's kingdom. So when he encounters 10 people who are cut off from the rest of the community by an illness, and no one wanted to be with them because they were unclean, he used that moment to show us something about God and God's intention. Now those lepers knew their place. They didn't try to come close, but they recognized him. In fact, they called him Master, and in the Gospel of Luke, the only people who otherwise called Jesus Master were his disciples. They asked for mercy, and Jesus told them to go and see the priest. That's what you're supposed to do when you're healed. The priest would then assess that you truly are healed and do whatever prayers or rituals are required, and then you would be permitted to go back into the world. So he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And all of them turned to go. They turned to do what Jesus had said right away, and all 10 of them were healed by God's grace. But only one of them seemed to notice, to see, to perceive what had happened, and to connect it with Jesus. One took in the awesomeness of what had happened and changed his course to first give thanks. What he did was to see and respond and know that a difference had happened. And in gratitude, he said, thank you. In noticing, in letting it sink in that something had changed, and recognizing Jesus and the power that Jesus had, he changed his direction. He went out of his way then to express his thanksgiving to God. The story serves as an invitation to believers, then and now, to recognize that what we see makes all the difference. In the face of adversity, and we all have times of adversity, do we see danger or do we see opportunity? In the face of human need, do we see demand or do we see a gift? In the face of a stranger, do we see a potential enemy or a potential friend? When we look to God, do we see a stern judge or a loving father? When we look to ourselves, do we see failure or a beloved child? When we look to the future, do we see fearful uncertainty or an open horizon? How we answer dramatically shapes our outlook and our behavior. So in the story, we had 10 people who were socially, religiously, and physically unclean, and Jesus made them well. One experienced even more than healing. He recognized Jesus and expressed his gratitude, and his life was changed. More than being healed, he was drawn back into a relationship with God and with the community. He was what we might call saved. Now, being told to be thankful doesn't in itself make us thankful. However, reminders sometimes make us aware, and so we pay attention and we are thankful. And then we respond with true thanksgiving. This Harvest Thanksgiving that we are celebrating this weekend is a specific time of being reminded and of reminding ourselves to open our eyes and our awareness to God's many acts of grace in our lives and our communities. It's more than that, however. It's a reminder that we need to be doing this every day in our community around. One of the things that I have been doing working in Saskatchewan just a little over a year now is meeting with congregations to help them discern where God is calling them into the future. And one of the tasks I ask them to do is to go out and look at their communities. Walk around your neighborhood. Walk around places where people connect. Notice where people gather. And see what God is doing in those places. Because you know, God doesn't wait for us. God is out there already. So we have to go out and perceive, notice, pay attention to what God is doing, and then find ways to join God in that work. Some of us enjoy making a special time to reflect on the blessings of the day to help us be truly thankful. Perhaps when we wake up in the morning, we think about all the things that we can anticipate in that day and thank God for the opportunities. Or perhaps once or twice a day, or maybe more, we stop and think about the things we have been blessed with in that day. Or perhaps it's as we prepare for rest that we take time to notice and give thanks. A friend of mine, a friend of Martha's and some other, Laura Allery, is a theologian and a writer and much more, a mother, many things. And she's written an article in the Hub, which is a particular website for Presbyterian women. She wrote an article about the growth of her own awareness and thankfulness following a time of depression. She tells a number of stories of her own journey in that time. And then near the end, she says, "A few years ago, a friend gave me a mala, a set of 108 beads used in prayer and meditation. I should sit down, take the first bead between my thumb and forefinger, and name something in my life for which I felt thankful. At first," she writes, "this seemed awkward and burdensome, like writing thank you notes. My mom used to insist that I compose a thank you note every time I received a gift or was invited somewhere. For the first few nights, I handled my mala beads the way I had those thank you notes. I zipped through the first with zeal and good intentions, and then ran out of ideas and grew bored and slightly resentful. Determined to make my way through all 108 beads, I started naming small things. The first ripe peach of the season. The smell of coffee beans when I opened the fresh bag. The gentle way the woman on the bus spoke to her son. The feel of a hot shower on my skin in the morning. The evening breeze through my window. The tantalizing first chapter of my new library book. A particular chord in a song. Some lyrics which touched me deeply. To my surprise, one small thing quickly led to another, and in no time I had traveled all the way through the mala. After a few evenings of this, I realized that I felt happier and more content." Her discipline had not only brought her to a point of giving thanks, but she had received a gift from that. When we pay attention to the specific things that God is doing, we cannot help but be stirred to thankfulness, and in our gratitude, find joy. Douglas Wood, in the book The Secret of Saying Thanks, says, "We don't give thanks because we are happy. We are happy because we give thanks." This weekend, this day, and any of the times that we stop and give thanks are yet another gift of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.